Chapter 1. A Dangerous Secret. The test chamber of the huge lab shook, and the men clasped their ears to block the thunderous roar.
"Brighton, come out of there and shut the door behind you," shouted Captain Bradley Raymond.
The short, bespectacled engineer, who was Dr. James Brighton, exited and secured the heavy soundproof doors, locking the thunder behind him. The captain smiled, carefully twisting a knob on the nearby control panel. A video monitor revealed a pulsing glow from the reaction chamber.
"Cannon, we have to hurry," he said to the powerfully built man beside him.
John Cannon listened politely. His attention was distracted by a heavyset stranger holding a clipboard near the back door.
"I've taken every precaution," said the captain, "but I still don't think we have much time. Jules tried to do this 10 years ago at the old Starlight Technologies lab. Before he could get this far, they shut him down."
"Who shut him down?" Cannon asked.
"All I know is that one day I drove by his lab and saw a row of black vehicles in the parking lot and two unmarked helicopters lifting off. No explanation. Nothing in the news either, except he was missing. No one ever saw him again. I used to visit him when I was in graduate school. His house was just down the street. He was more help than any of the professors, but he seemed afraid to discuss his work projects."
"What kind of projects?"
"He called it hyperdimensional physics. Didn't say much about it, though, and what he did say seemed impossible to believe. Anyway, 2 weeks after he disappeared, there was a knock on our front door. It was late at night. No one was there, just a large package."
"What was in it?"
"A lot of papers, notes, equations, and diagrams."
"You mean?"
"That's right. It was Jules' work. This entire project is based upon the contents of that package. When I saw the schematics and equations, I knew I was in over my head, but with some good help from our chief engineers, Jim Brighton and Jack Paulson, we've made very good progress these past years. After this test, I think everything's ready to go."
"And that explains the tight security," said Cannon. His attention was again diverted to the heavyset stranger, now conversing on his cell phone.
"Any questions?"
"Yes, Captain. Who's on the phone by the back door?"
"That's Arnold Gouge, our second in command. Hired him about a year ago. He's Special Forces like you, and has a strong background in security. He's now vetting all new hires, and I've asked him to build our backup team. You'd be amazed how much he knows."
"Captain Raymond, what are those helicopters doing over there?" said Dr. Brighton, who just joined them. Brad Raymond ran to the window. Through binoculars, he saw four black helicopters approaching. He also spotted a line of black vehicles descending into the valley from the mountain pass. Running to the other side of the building, he stepped outside the door. A much closer convoy of black vehicles approached from the opposite direction. His heart pounded. A chill washed over him, and his mind slowed to a standstill. What to do? That was the bottom line, and for a long moment, no thought would follow.
"Captain, are you all right?" asked Cannon.
The captain seemed to awaken from a trance.
"Gouge! Cannon! Get everyone into the ship! Now!"
he shouted. Chaos erupted as all scrambled for emergency boarding and launch. The helicopters drew closer.